The alert among you will have noticed that there's a table over there which is the takeaway table, and Mary's very kindly put some apples up there for us to help ourselves to if you want some apples, and I've put a copy of my latest newsletter up there. I'm not in the habit of forcing my newsletters on people, but this is a particularly special one. And briefly, before we start focusing on something more important than me, I would like to share with you this newsletter, because this month marks a very special anniversary for me. It's 25 years since I first went overseas in mission to Mozambique and started a journey that is still continuing as I'm supporting mission workers. So I'd love for you to take a copy of this and read it. It celebrates some of the people who have helped me along that journey, but it also celebrates what God has done over 25 years in mission. And that story came to a climax here in this very room 25 and a half years ago. I had been exploring in my mind and in my prayers the idea of jacking in my job with what at the time was Lloyds Bank Registrars. It's now It got taken over. And I'd spoken individually to each of the elders of this church and said, I'd be appreciated if you'd pray for me, if you'd pray with me, if we could discuss this. Unfortunately, I'd not been able to speak to Rodney, who was the leader of this church, and I'd tried and I'd rung him up and he'd said, oh, I'm busy this week, contact me next week. And I'd spoken to him on Sunday and he said, I haven't got my diary, ring me during the week. And I'd ring him during the week, and it had gone on for several weeks. One Sunday morning in 1994, I slipped in a little bit late and sat down next to a friend who leaned over and said, I'm preaching this morning, can I use you as an example? I just said, yes, of course. I trusted him. Well, he stood up and preached a sermon that could easily have been entitled, Why Don't You Do What Tim's Doing and Give Up Your Job and Go and Serve God Somewhere Else? At the end of which, Rodney stood up with a face as black as thunder and said, some of us didn't know Tim was doing that. And he stormed across to me after the meeting and said, we need to talk. I said, yeah, I've been trying to talk for several weeks, but I finally got your attention, haven't I? So we didn't really get off to the right start on that, and that was something that I very much regretted, and often tell people that I'm helping as they go in mission, don't do what I did. Make sure you consult your church leadership at the earliest possible stage, because that's the best way to have them on board, being part of the discussion. So that is not incidental to what I want to talk about this morning, because my journey into mission, as you will read if you have a look at the newsletter, started in Bristol. I had a friend who lived in Bristol, and I'd go and visit him occasionally, and on one morning after church, he said, Pastor wants to have a word with you. We're going round for tea this afternoon. So we turned up at the pastor's house, and we had a cup of tea, and the pastor sits there, and he looks at me, and he goes, What are you doing with your life? And rather intimidated, I just sort of went, I work for a bank. And his response was, That's not what I meant, and you know it. Talk about straight talking. But it started me thinking. And although I felt God had called me to work in that bank, and looking back, I realised I had 10 years of management training, courtesy of Lloyds Bank, which was great use in the mission field and gave me all sorts of skills that I wouldn't otherwise have had. I did realise that at the end of my life, when the books are opened, and I know it doesn't quite work like this, but in the old-fashioned imagery of standing at the pearly gates and St. Peter sort of looking, consulting his ledger and going, why should we let you in here? It wasn't going to cut a lot of mustard with St. Peter when I said, well, Lloyds Bank shareholders are a lot wealthier because I've done a good job. And it just started me thinking, God has given me this life. What am I doing with it? How am I investing in it? How am I making sure God knows he's getting a good return on his investment? And I began to think, yeah, actually, I want to do something that's going to have a bigger impact for God's kingdom. I want to do something that is going to, if not change the whole world, at least change a little bit of the world somewhere. It is at least going to bring the gospel to some people who've not heard of it. And I want to take this opportunity to throw that question to you all and say, what are you doing with your lives? Because if we're not intentional about what we're doing with our lives, circumstances around us and the world and family commitments can take away the initiative, and we don't make decisions, we react to decisions. And so offering you this morning the opportunity of just reflecting and say, yeah, actually, where is this going? And I know that many of you have got occupations with responsibilities, and you've got families with needs, and you have to pay mortgages and put food on the table, and there is nothing wrong with doing that. Many of you also have pastimes and hobbies, and we all need a way of switching off and relaxing, and those are good too. And some of you have got ministries, and for me, one of the joys of serving this church over the last 3 months has been being in this building and seeing how many of you are in and out of here through the week doing different things, practical things, participating in meetings, and doing all sorts of unsung and unspoken stuff that keeps the show on the road. And I'm very appreciative of that. And I think this is quite a remarkable church from that point of view, that there are a lot of people doing lots of things like that. But even so, I think it's worth us stopping and asking Jesus, what does he want us to do with our lives? Because we might never have done that. And something, particularly for young people, whenever I come across young people, and they're going to university, or they're going to college, or they're making decisions about GCSEs, I like to ask them why. And typically the response is, well, that's something I enjoy doing. It's something that has a good career potential. It's something that will earn me lots of money. I very seldom hear young people say, that's what I believe God wants me to do with my life. Because they've made decisions with their hearts and with their minds, but not with their spirits. And I was very, very encouraged when one young woman in my church in Birmingham, who was just at the point of leaving university, and I said, what are you doing next? And she said, I want to be a stockbroker. Never met anybody who wanted to be a stockbroker. I said, why do you want to do that? And she said, because there aren't many Christians in the stockbroking industry, and I think they need a few of us. Wow. She's gone on to become a very senior director in a stockbroking firm, and praise God, she supports Syzygy very generously. But actually, she'd made the choice in prayer, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we all need to do, is be open to where the Holy Spirit is leading us with our lives. Because if one thing is true, they're not actually our lives, are they? We've given them to God. So what are we doing making choices with his life, instead of asking him what he wants? Paul wrote in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is the essence of the gospel. Some people call it a divine bargain. His life for mine. And we often focus on that when we focus on communion and forgiveness. We focus on the fact that I deserve to die because I'm a sinner, but Christ took my place and died my death. But the flip side of that coin is who's living this life? Because we talk about giving our life to Jesus, but that's not a once-for-all transaction on the cross. It's a day-to-day surrendering of our lives to Jesus. In our choices, and in our finances, and in our work, our ambitions, everything, we need to be inviting Jesus in alongside us to work with us in his work. And I don't want you for a moment to think that I mean we all should give up our jobs and go and become mission workers. Because we mission workers need people who've got jobs who'll give us some money so that we can carry on being mission workers. And we need people praying for us. And we need people doing practical stuff. But for some of you, considering the mission field might be appropriate. I know some of you already are very extensively committed to short-term mission trips in different parts of the world, and I always rejoice to hear your stories about that. But Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. He uses imagery from the slave market, which is quite common in the New Testament, but we don't always pick it up because we're not used to thinking as slaves like many of them were. And it's quite a common motif to use the word of purchase or liberation of slaves when talking about what Jesus did for us on the cross. But we don't emphasize that these days because it's not sort of, we're not so socially aware of it. And then he goes on to say, therefore, honor God with your bodies. He's talking about one specific situation, but as a whole, actually that is honoring God with all that we think and say and do. And we've sung some very powerful words about that already this morning. About allowing God to shine through us, that others would see us. Now I realize, as I said earlier, some of us have got to pay the bills and put mortgages on the table. And I had to do the same when I was working at Lloyds Bank, and I prayed about it. I said, Lord, do you want me here? Because I think there are other things that I can do. And for many, many years, God was saying, yes, I want you there. I'm very glad he did, because as I said, I learned a lot through that. God doesn't necessarily take us out of where we are. But he does want us to be open to him making the choices. I know many of you are older and thinking, well, what are you talking about? I've done my bit. You're thinking I should spend the next 10 years doing something different? Maybe. I'm just offering you the choice to ask God what he wants you to do with your golden years. And some of you have got families. And maybe that makes it hard for you to go and do something different if God calls you to. But that's, again, part of the sacrifice. I had a very interesting time at Keswick Convention a few years, where I go every year to try and help people find their way into missions. And I noticed a couple of young women with kids in pushchairs looking at the jobs adverts for overseas mission. So I went over and I said, are you thinking of going? And they both looked at me and laughed and said, no, we've got kids. I said, okay. Have kids abroad, you know. They went, yeah, but what about schools? I said, yeah, they have schools abroad too. And my somewhat satirical response got us into a discussion, and the fact that actually there are many people who've got kids who go abroad with, in mission and take their kids either into local schools or some of the international schools. And surprise, surprise, a lot of foreign countries have schools that are better than the British education system. Shocking, but true. So kids don't necessarily stop us going. Ill health doesn't stop us going. There are people in wheelchairs who go abroad in mission. There are a lot of older people who go abroad in mission. I have some friends who I'll be seeing in 2 weeks who took early retirement. He was a haematologist, she was a GP. They both went out to Malaysia and worked locally for a number of years, having taken their early retirement. So there are always possibilities. I merely want to hold out to you this morning the recommendation that you think about it. No matter what your situation, a simple prayer: God, is this what you want me to be doing with my life? Or do you want me to do something different? Because if we don't hold that opportunity open to ask God, the world will force those choices on us. I'm simply asking you to consider the question. Let's just take a moment's silence, and then I'll finish with prayer. Father God, help us to remember that all that we have and all that we are comes from you. We have no gifts, no abilities, no possessions that have not graciously been given to us by you. Help us, Lord, your small, weak and frail servants of the great and mighty God, to be open to what you want us to do with our lives, that we may participate with you in the growth of your kingdom. Whether you send us to the other side of the world or the other side of the street is irrelevant. Let us go where you would have us go. Let us be who you would want us be. Let us do what you would want us to do. And may your grace be extended through us to the world around us that does not yet know you. Amen. I'm going to invite the musicians to come up. We're going to sing a song which some of you may know. It's an old one. It is a dead